Now, the kind of lesson that we have this morning, there's no way to teach it without being a rebuke to the people. You'll find out all through this lesson, it's a continual rebuke to the people. Now, it's not me rebuking, it's the Lord. You might say, well, Brother Pike, these things that he's saying here, he's rebuking the children of Israel. But don't forget, it's for our admonition. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, you just remember this morning these things that come forth. God doesn't exclude anybody. Everybody to him. I know that sometimes we feel we're kind of special. You know, we look in the mirror and our nose is real keen looking. We think, well, we're kind of cute. That makes us special, you know. And then some of the others, we think, well, we kind of, you know, we've got a good understanding. That makes us kind of special. And then, of course, we all have, you know, things that makes us kind of special. But to God, there ain't nobody special. You just meat and bone, that's all. And the only special thing he sees about you is your spirit. Now then, if you've got a spirit of humility, I'll prove that in the lesson this morning. If you've got a spirit of humility, then God loves you. Now you say, will God be respect a person, Brother Pike? Yes, he will. Now he will not be respect a person as far as human person, but he will show respect to them that love him. The Bible said that he told Israel, he said, I will have respect unto you because you do that that I tell you. So he's no respect as far as human person. Webster's dictionary tells us that human person is flesh and blood. And God made them all, whether big or little, whether, well, whatever they are, he made them all. All right, now, let's everybody this morning have a sweet spirit. You know, anybody can have a sweet spirit. It's like a cat when you rub them right. But you find out what kind of spirit they got when you rub them wrong. All right, now then, we see here a tabernacle in the wilderness. All right, now we've been sitting over there in the wilderness of Sinai for a long time. Well, not really a long. Well, we have been there for a long time, but we hadn't had the tabernacle up for a long time. On the first day of the first month of the first year, no, I beg your pardon, the first day of the first month of the second year, we set the tabernacle up, remember? All right, now, we set the tabernacle up on the first day of the second month of the first year. We got our tabernacle set up. The children had been in the wilderness for a year then. And we'd come all the way from Succoth over there, Etham, at the beginning of the wilderness. Really, Etham was the edge of the wilderness. Come all the way from the edge of the wilderness of Etham, all the way down to Mount Sinai. And here we are in the wilderness of Sinai. And God's been giving us the instructions and giving us all these wonderful things from heaven. And showing great signs and wonders. But I want to show you something this morning, a lesson. It don't matter how many times you reprove some people or preach to them or teach them or how many miracles God shows them, they're still going to be stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Now watch and see this morning the lesson. All right, now, notice here now, we've got the tabernacle set up. God has made the ordinances, and let's take up right here at the tabernacle. Now, first of all, when it's all set up, the Lord called Aaron, and you know the things he had to go through, the 7 days he had to spend in the courts, and so forth, the anointing oil, the burnt offerings, the peace offerings, and the different sacrifices, and all these things, you know, that he had to do. Now then, the Lord, on the first day here when it's set up, right here at the beginning of the tabernacle, he calls for the 12 leaders of Israel, the 12 princes of Israel, and they come. Now notice, they come, now they're coming to Moses, here before he calls for them, they're coming to Moses and they bring 12 oxen and they bring 6 covered wagons, and they take these as a gift unto God, and the Lord told Moses to receive them and give them to those Levites that we had seated around here. Alright, now he told them to take them, 2 oxen to a cart and so forth, 6 carts. Alright, but now I want you to notice something here. Last night, I didn't tell you, we just got into some of it, but now I want to remember, now we had up here Judah, we had over here Reuben, we had over here Ephraim, we had over here Dan, is that right? Then we had the Kohites over here, and then we had the Gershonites over here, and we had the Merera over here. All right, now, remember, we had the tribes all around, and right here was Reuben on this side. Reuben on this side. Issachar and Zebulun was with Reuben, not Reuben, Judah. I don't know why I keep saying Reuben, but anyway, Judah over here with Issachar and Zebulun, or some call it Zebulun. Right here on this side was Issachar and Zebulun. So we see Lear's children. We see also the handmaid's children here. Then we come over here and we find Reuben, Gad, and Simeon on this side because they're the three that encamps on this side. And then we come back here and we find Ephraim, I mentioned it last night, Benjamin and Manasseh, which was his brother, over on the western side. This is the southern side, the eastern side, the western side, and the northern side. All right, we've got the bread setting in order now and everything setting in order. We've got the altar back here at the eastern side, and we've got the Ark of the Covenant on the western side. It kind of makes us wonder about America, don't it? And the bride out of the Gentiles. And then we got the shewbread over here on the northern side, and we got the lamp over here on the southern side. All right, now we've got our tribes around. And over here with Dan, we find Asher. Over here with Dan. I got my thoughts on this. Let me see if I can get it straightened out. Now we have Ephraim back here with Manasseh and with Benjamin over here. And then we have Dan over here with Asher and Naphtali on this northern side over here, which gives us a complete cycle here of the different ones around the camp. All right? Now, the Lord said unto them, remember now, here we go, we're getting the tabernacle set up, and the Lord calls for the 12 princes of Israel. Now, they come to bring an offering, and the offering is something like this. They bring a charger of silver. I'm not going to go through each one of them because they all bring the same kind of offering. But they bring a charger of silver, and you can figure out how much it is when you get through here. But they bring a charge of silver of 130 shekel weight as a charger of silver. And then they bring a bowl of silver, which is 70 shekel weight. And this bowl and this charge is full of fine flour mingled with oil. Now, also, they have to bring, each one of them has to bring, a golden spoon that's full of incense of 10 shekel weight. All right, now, are you standing with me now? 10 shekel weight, and then they have to offer up a bullock, they have to offer up a ram, and have to offer up a lamb. Now, this first bullock, and the bullock, and then the lamb, and then the ram, the first one is to be a burnt offering. Alright, now they have to bring with this. Now sometimes we think the Lord causes us to give an offering, but I want you to watch one of their offerings. Alright, now here, for that burnt offering, they bring a bullock, they bring a ram, and they bring a lamb. Okay, now, they bring a he-goat, which is for the sin offering. Remember, they usually use the goat for the sin offering. Alright, now, they use the bullock, the ram, and the lamb for the burnt offering. This is kind of help you get a continuity. Now after this, they bring a goat. All right, now the goat is for the sin offering. All right, then after this, they bring two more bullocks. They bring two more bullocks, and then they bring five rams and five he-goats and five lambs. All right, now this they bring together. Wait, I got something wrong here. They say bring a goat for the offering here. Yeah, two bullocks and five goats and five rams and five lambs. They bring here, and this is a peace offering. Now, this sometimes, once in a while, I get one thing out of kilt here, and when the Lord checks me on it, he usually straightens it out. But anyway, this last part here is called the peace offering. This is for the sin offering. This is for the burnt offering. All right, now, they come and bring all of this, each one of them, which means that there would be 12 charges of silver, 12 bowls, silver bowls, 12 golden spoons with the incense and the oil and the flour and so forth. And then it would be 12 bullocks, 12 rams, 12 lambs, 12 goats. And then it'd be twice as many bullocks and five times as many goats and five times as many rams. Now, 12 by 5, you can figure it up there and see what you got. And you can see that that's a tremendous offering, but they were counsel of God to bring this offering. Now, during this time, the Bible said that God spoke of the leper and told him that the leper had to be put without the camp. All right, then he told them that they could not keep a leper in the camp. It would defile the camp. And then he told them that if they had a Nazarite vow, A Nazarite vowed that they had to let their hair grow out. They could not drink anything of the vine, which was, like we say, vinegar. You take the word vinegar and you break it in two, and it means something from the vine. The first word is vine, gar made from the vine. All right, so vinegar, they couldn't drink anything that come from the vine during this time because this was a Nazarite vow. If a man happened to die during the time that was on this vow, they made contact. Then in 7 days, they had to go through a purification, offer up offerings and so forth, because they had to go through a cleansing, and all their time was lost, and they had to start over. It just counted from the time they offered a sacrifice, because they were defiled, and they had to go offer what the Bible called a trespass offering with a dove and a pigeon and so forth. All right, but now then, when they finished this consecration they had, in case they didn't get defiled, then they had to come before the camp, and they had to stand here and shave off their hair, and take their hair after they shaved it off, and they had to throw it over there. Around here, they had to do away with their hair and throw it over here, offer it up, and then they had to go through a cleansing process and offer up lambs and things for a burnt offering here on the altar. I'll bypass a little bit of this so that we can get on to the major part. But anyway, now, this is the Nazarite vow. It's no wonder that in the New Testament, Jesus was called a Nazarite, because he had a vow on his head to pay to God, and it's no wonder that they called him unclean. Now look at holiness people today, a Pentecostal people. They're the most pure people in the world. They got a vow on their head for God, and they're letting their hair grow out in the sense of the glory that they just believe that they ought to go on for God and do whatever God tells them, and they're called the unclean people when they're the only clean people in the earth. Same way with the Nazareth. They said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And lo and behold, it was the only place anything good could come out of. So then, here it was a Nazarite vow, and they had the locks on their head. And remember, how many of you remember Samson? Samson had a Nazarite vow on his head when the angel appeared over there. We'll get to it in the scriptures later. But when the angel appeared over there and told him, the mother said, don't you drink any strong drink, and a razor shall not come on his head and so forth, because he shall be a Nazarite from his birth unto God. All right, you remember the power of God rested upon him. This is why the church is stripped of their glory right now. Them seven locks on Samson's head had to do with these seven candlesticks right here, these seven flames which represented the seven spirits of God, or the glory of God, the seven church ages. It was upon Samson in that time, and it was a Nazarite vow. I say that to bring you back here to show you the significance of the Nazarite vow, or else you might just pass over it and not think much about it. But it carries great significance. So then you see here is this kind of puts out, well, in other words, when their hair was long, it denoted great strength among them. It gave them great strength. All right, so you see then here the hair, how it had to be shaven off and so forth when they went to break their consecration. All right, now, notice this, folks. We've been here in the Sinai wilderness since the tabernacle has been set up. We've been here from the first of the second year, of the first day of the first month until the 20th day of the second month. Now, that's where we're at now. We're fixing to make a move. The cloud's going to lift off the tabernacle. We've sat here at Sinai till they built the tabernacle, got everything together and built it and set it up. And now they set it up, and we're going to make a move here on the 20th day of the second month of the second year. We're going to make a move. All right, now we're moving from the wilderness of Sinai, and we're going into the wilderness of Paran. Going into the wilderness of Paran, and here things are really going to start happening. Now notice about this time, just about the time we're getting ready to journey here, the Bible said there were some people that started to murmuring and complaining. All right, the Bible said do all things without murmuring. Over toward the rearward, back in here around where Dan was, back in here, he always come up behind the extreme rearward. He came up behind it as kind of a watch in the back, kind of a watch watching over the people, so that if anybody tried to attack the people, see, the people was in a circle and they were protected, the wives and the children. All right, now then, kind of like the old wagon train thing out in the west. But if you notice back here, they got to grumbling and got to mumbling, and the Bible said the fire of God quickly just come down and began to consume them. And when they did, Moses, he hurried around and asked God forgiveness, and you know this procedure they had to go through and so forth, and by the time they could get through all those procedures, a lot of time there's a lot of folks dead. But anyway, God gave mercy and he stopped killing them. They call this place Tabitha back there because of the killing of the people because of their murmuring. All right, now, here is something we want to notice. In just a little while, we'll come back to this, but the Lord told them, said, to make you two silver trumpets. And Eleazar and Hithamar, the sons of Aaron, was to sound the silver trumpets. All right, now, the sounding of the silver trumpets had to be sounded on their happy days. That's their days of rejoicing. On their solemn days, that's their solemn assemblies. And it had to be sounded on those days and on their feast days and at the first of their months. This was the beginning of their month. And so then they had to sound the silver trumpets. Now, when they come out to sound, if they sounded one trumpet, then the heads of the Israelites would gather together around the camp. It was a call for the chiefs. If they sounded both of the trumpets, then that meant the whole congregation of Israel had to gather around. It was a summons to them. Now, if they sounded an alarm on the trumpet, then that meant that Judah and the first ones here, Issachar and Zebulun, their tribes, over 100,000, had to go out to battle. It meant war in the camp. Or if they sounded the second time, it meant Reuben, Gad, and Simeon had to go out to battle. And so it was as they went on sounding the alarm the second time. All right, now then we see this. All right, now we start to move, and we're moving over to the place of Paran. Paran. Now really, I think we'll find out this is Kadesh back over there, a place called Kadesh. But anyway, here is what we're doing. We're moving on now, and when the Lord smote these, it's coming up in the rearward. You know, they start the grumbling and mumbling. A lot of times the wives do that. The husband said, I'm going to quit work, and I'm going to work for God, and they have to get in a move, and she gets into a little trouble, you know, and a little inconvenience. She ain't got no money to buy no candy with and Coke with, and she begins to mumble, and the children begin to mumble. So here when the father, which is Moses, the whole congregation begins to move, then of course the children start grumbling. All right, and we find a little problem here, and the Lord gets angry. They done tempted him so many times. Remember now, we'll get on over here, and with the last temptation that we bring in over here, the last thing that they do, this makes 10 times that they've tempted the Lord already. And he'll tell them over there. He told them, he said, for these 10 times that you've tempted me, after I've done all these things for you and showed you my glory, and still you mumbling and grumbling. All right, but now, look over here. We find the silver trumpet. They sound for the battle, and then after this, we find that coming up in the rearward here, the mumbling and the grumbling. And then as we journey on, we find as we journey on, the people really start to grumbling and mumbling. They start to grumbling and mumbling. And so they said to Moses, they said, Moses said, you brought us up out of the land of Egypt to kill us, that we'd better off back down there when we had the fish and when we had the melons, when we had the leek, when we had the garlic, when we had the onions and those things. It was back down there in Egypt. And said, now here you are, you done brought us out over here to kill us, all right? Now, notice this now. They said, we abhor. In other words, we're tired of hidden manna. We're tired of it. Did you know people can't come to church till they get tired of the Word of God? They can't just get to where they'd rather have a milkshake. Well, that's exactly what they have. Now, just think now, manna coming down from heaven, Brother Gonzalez, raining down from heaven upon them, and here they are getting tired of it. God, well, I could have got tired of it, the fact it was just a miracle coming down from God. But anyway, I guess they probably put 2 and 2 together and got 94 out of it, you know, and said, well, it's just a frost out there. It's all it is. It's making it anyway. I don't see anything supernatural about it. Because God works through a way to provide, then people don't believe it's supernatural. Like the ark. See, it was a natural ark, but it was a supernatural act. Now, somebody says, well, I don't see anything. You say, well, what are you doing? I don't see any vindication, somebody says. That's because they're blind. All right, now, look now, where are we at now? Here, the people mumbled. They said, we're tired of this manna. That's all we've had to eat is manna, manna, manna. They're tired of it. Now, remember, back over there, God gave them quail. He brought it in the evening time. He brought them quail. And then he brought them the hoar frost in the morning, which is the manna like of the corn and the seed. Now, that was put in the pot where they're carrying it with them right here. But now look, he must have stopped off with the quail over there. Now, I'm going to show you how a man can really doubt. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Don't forget that now. He was the smartest man of his time. And here he is over here. And even Moses forgives. Now watch, I'm the best of them, forgive. All right, now, here he is Moses over here, and Moses, he done got weary. The people said, give us flesh, give us flesh. We want something to eat. We want some meat. We want some meat. Moses, he done got so weary, and they was about to stone him, and some of them said, we'll just stone him to death. And Moses turned to God, and he said, God, he was really weary. You remember, he's over 80 years old now, probably 82, 83 years old. And here he is over here, and he's weary, and he said, now, Lord, he said, who am I that you called me to carry these people up and nurse them on my breast like a suckling? Said, who am I anyway that you did this? Said, if you'll have mercy on me, said, just kill me and get me out of it. Well, you find out a little later, God took him in his word. He done it. Over where he told him he'd do away with the children of Israel, he did it, didn't he? All right, you'll find out a little later. He'll do Moses the same way, raise up another leader. But see, Moses said, Lord, I'm just, in other words, just, he said, I can't bear all of it. He told him, it's too much for me. I can't handle it. He said, it's just too much for me. All right. The Lord told Moses, said, all right, Moses, said, call 70 of the elders. He called 70 of the elders, and Eldad and Medad didn't come up. But anyway, they were back here in the camp, but he called them up around the congregation. When he come up there, Eldad and Medad stayed back here in the camp, and the Lord said, Moses, I'm going to put your spirit upon 70 of the elders. And so he poured out the spirit of Moses upon these 70 elders, and the Bible said they began to prophesy and just kept on prophesying when the anointing come upon them. All right, now you see we're really getting somewhere here. We've done come to the place to where God's beginning to raise up great leaders now. Great leaders. See, he's beginning to take that thing like he did from Christ over there and put it on the apostles, and the church is beginning to get power. Now, but remember, every son that comes to God, he scourges him first. He puts him through the wilderness experience. He sees if he's following for the fishes and the loaves. See if he's going to grumble about what he feeds him and the way he treats him. All right, then when you don't grumble about having to lay aside the natural things, God calls you a son or daughter, and if you do grumble about it, and you go to the husband, you know, say, well, I remember, you know, and going on, it's kind of, all this kind of way in here, you grumbling because he's trying to work for God, and he don't feed your belly, and you're just a mumbling and a grumbling and a going on. Now, when you do that, the Lord will get you. He'll get you. Same way with the husband, he'll get you if the wife is trying to keep her mind on the Lord, and you start mumbling and grumbling about her. All right, now, he'll get you for that. But now notice this, they're moving on through the wilderness. God's trying them to see if they are following for the fishes and the loaves. All right, now he's called 70 elders here who apparently has proved themselves to be worthy. He's pouring out his spirit upon the 70 elders, and here Edad and Medad, or Eldad and Medad is down here in the camp, and they're prophesying and just having a time down there. And here some of them runs up there and says, now Moses, or he tells Joshua, so Joshua said, they're down there prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, he gets excited. He runs over here to Moses, and he said, Moses, said, go down there and stop them. Said, they're down there prophesying. And Moses said, just suffer this envy unto me and let it go. He said, for this is the Lord. And he said, it's for my sake and so forth. Said, envy thou for me and for my sake. And so then, rather than rebuking them, the people begin to envy them. That is, they thought it was really something. See, and it really was, because the anointing of God was upon them. And here, Moses passed on. He said, I wish that all of the people of God were prophets. So I wished all of them were prophets. All right, but now notice this. There's a difference between a prophet and Moses. Now, let's watch on over a little farther. So then we find here, we're coming on down went through the wilderness here, and the Lord, he called these 70 elders, and here he puts the anointing of God upon them, and he said, I've heard the mumblings and the grumblings of the children of Israel. He said, I've heard it now. He said, I'm going to give them food. I'm going to give them meat. So I'm going to give them meat. And he said to them, he appeared back here and spoke to Moses and the congregation, and he said, now I'm going to give you meat. He said, not for a day, not for 2 days, not for 5 days, not for 10 days, not for 20 days. He said, but for a whole month. Said, you're going to eat it till it comes out your nose. Said, I'm going to give you meat till you eat it, till it comes out your nostrils. He was angry, see. He was mad. Well, even Moses, when he made that statement, Moses looked up to God and said, Lord, said, I got 600,000 men here. You talking about feeding them all meat. Said, am I going to kill every cow in the herd, all my flocks, all the sheep and everything to feed this people? So I have to kill everything I got? And so then the Lord said, and then he turned, he said, Lord, he said, or else take all the fish out of the sea, said, to feed them with. And the Lord said, Moses, you'll see whether or not my word comes to pass. So see, here he reproves Moses too. Moses couldn't figure out how he's going to do it. 100,000 men, and he's going to give them meat for a whole month. Now you can imagine why you could bring every refrigerator Sears has got out here, and you couldn't do nothing like that. to every freezer they got to. But anyway, just notice this now. 600,000 men outside of women and children and so on, or outside the children here, 600,000 men. Just think now, we had 3,550 men trained for battle. This is men of battle. Alright, above 20 years old and up. Just think of how many people's out there in the wilderness. Now he's going to feed them. Alright, the Bible says in the night, as the night went by, God began to blow. Began to blow. Begin to blow. And here as he began to blow, here the wind went out over the seas like he did at the first, and the Bible said so many quail come in there that there was 2 cubits high, and said all around the camp for a whole day's journey, said you could journey a whole day, and 2 cubits high, which would have been 3 feet or better high, quails was everywhere for a whole day's journey. You could just Them people were surrounded in birds. Never in the history of the world had there been so many birds, and probably never will be again. Think about it now. 2 cubits high, which a cubit is about 18 inches, from 18 to 21 inches. They don't know just exactly how much. But anyway, if it would just take it at the very least, 18 inches, it would still be 3 feet high, and that would still be a day's journey out all around the camp. Quail, and the Bible said they just killed them and killed them and killed them and stacked them up, and all day long and all night long, I believe it was, and all the next day, that it's kill birds and kill birds and kill birds, and finally, you know, just catching them. I don't guess they killed them all. I guess they caught them and cooped them up to keep them as they use them. But anyway, here they were just by the bushels. I mean, God had sent them in by the bushels. Enough quail. Well, they got them, and the Bible said they were happy, you know, and they killed them and they started to eat. And the Bible said just as they got them in between the teeth, the wrath of God rose up against them. And the Bible said God smote them with his wrath. He was angry. The Bible said his anger burned against them. And here he rose up and he smote them. And the Bible said this time with great plagues. Great plagues. This time he smote them. All right. Now then we see we're moving on here. And the Lord has done got angry at them. They're moving over in the land of Kadesh. And here Abraham's father, the Mennonite, the Midianite, wants to go back to his own land. And finally Moses talked to him and told him, said, you come and go with us and we'll treat you just like God treats us. Said, if you'll just continue on. He said, no, I'll go back to my people, my land. And Moses said, no, said, go with us and you can be eyes to us in the wilderness, because we've got to travel through the wilderness. And I suppose that the old man was familiar with the trail. But anyway, here I think he might have went on. It doesn't say whether he did or not in this particular passage, but it appeared that he might have consented to, pardon me, to go on with Moses. Now, about this time, here comes Miriam, and she starts mumbling, and she starts grumbling. Now, there's nobody that can murmur and complain against you better than your own relatives. Just find them of your own household, whether it be in the church or whether they be in your natural family, and they're the very ones that'll put the nails in your hands. Now, we see all of this against Christ, against Moses, which is a symbol of Christ, and against the ministry. And now here Miriam is his very own sister. After all of these great miracles, after God has sustained her and her family, and here she is mumbling and talking to Aaron. And she says now, said Moses, he's taking too much upon himself and so forth. Said he, well, said he's, that he thinks he's the only one that God will speak to. Said is he the only one that God will talk to? And Aaron, he gets right into it. You know, he talks with us. But now the anger of God rose up. And God called Miriam and called Aaron. He said, you three, that's the way he called them, said, you three come out from among the children of Israel and get over here by the tabernacle. So then here they come over by the tabernacle, and God comes down in his glory, and God told him, here's what he told him. He said, if there be a prophet among you, I will show myself to him in a vision or a dream. He said, but not so with my man Moses, the meekest man in all the earth. Not so with Moses, he said. He said, for I will speak to Moses face to face as in appearance, and he'll see the similitude of God, that I'll speak to him, and said, not in dark sayings, but I'll speak to him plain. All right, now, and the Bible said the anger of God rose, and it went out against Miriam, and she was smote and become a leper. Now, he did not smite Aaron as a leper, because Aaron was of the priesthood, and Aaron could not be smitten as a leper. That would have been unclean. So God had to punish him another way. But anyway, here we find he'd already received great chastening in the sense he'd done lost 2 sons, and I don't know what all had already happened to him. But anyway, here Miriam was, And Aaron said, "Oh my God," said, "we've done foolishly." And he began to plead the cause, and Moses, he began to pray. You find here that Aaron began to recognize Moses. He wasn't brother no longer. He began to say, "My Lord." And he began to realize that God had made Moses a god to his own brother. The Bible said, "I'll make Moses a god to his own brother." And here his sister and Aaron began to realize that he wasn't just another feller, as somebody sometimes used the terminology. So, now I want you to notice that this is family kin. Now, we spoke last night of the congregation. God wouldn't allow the congregation to murmur against Moses. Now, he doesn't allow his family to murmur against Moses, and it'll get closer than that. You just watch a little farther. All right, now then, here to Aaron, we find that Miriam became a leper. All right. Now, Moses said, my God, don't let her die. Don't let this happen to her. Do something for her. And the Lord said, Moses said, if her own daddy would have spit in her face, said she'd been unclean 7 days. In other words, if it had just been her daddy that had got upset and spit in her face, that I'd made her be unclean for 7 days. In other words, how much more if God finds fault with her? So he said, Moses, if her own daddy had spit in her face, she'd be unclean 7 days. So turn her out of the camp. Don't even let her stay in the camp for 7 days. Now, can you imagine this? Here Miriam is out there in the night, in the dark, wrestling the dogs for the bones, just like the leper, 7 days without anything out there, just wandering around with the rest of them, out in the leprosy colony and back out there 7 days like a hippie of today, wandering around just because she wouldn't keep her mouth closed. All right, now, finding fault with Moses. All right, now then, she was a good woman. Remember this. She was a good woman. Somebody said, well, he wouldn't do that to me because I've been a Christian. I've been religious. Are you just watching, sir? Just watching, sir. Did this happen for your admonition? Now, notice this. This same Miriam was the one that God anointed over there that had to come across the Red Sea. You heard me. I tell about the other night. She took the people and led them and danced and shouted and had a good time, and God blessed her. Now, here he is cursing her. See how the Lord works? You can't touch the ministry. All right, now, what's coming on? He said, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm, vengeance is mine, I will replace, saith the Lord. Now then, they didn't have any fear of the ministry here. The Lord has commanded to reverence and fear the ministry. All right, now, not because of what they are, it's the power that's invested within them. And here, Aaron, he didn't have the proper fear for the ministry, and neither did. Now remember, he was the high priest. He was a minister himself. He was the leading minister among them, but it didn't make any difference. God was doing things. Now, here the Lord drives Miriam out, but he does heal her and bring her back in after 7 days according to the leprosy. She had to go offer the trespass, all these offerings and things, the trespass offerings. But now I want you to notice something here. It gets stronger than this. It gets stronger than this. Here comes some more men up here. Here comes Korah. And Dathan and Abiram, these men, they come up out of the camp, just continually probing at Moses. They come up out of the camp. And over here, now, we're getting this a little bit ahead here. We're going to hold off on, but remember these three names, Korah and Abiram. And these three that we just named, I kind of lost the anointing there just for a minute because I'm running over something here. I want to back up and get it. We'll get it in just a few minutes. Okay, we'll get that in just a minute, Frank, as the anointing brings it back to us. Dathan is one of them, and Abiram is another, and Korah is the other. All right, now let's back up here just a minute. Notice now, just before these men come up here, the Bible said that Moses calls 12 of the leaders, and he sends 12 of the leaders over into Canaan land. All right, remember now, we're getting some spies that's going over to Canaan land, and then we'll find out about Korah a little later. But now we're going over into Canaan land. And the Bible says here that 12 of them go over into the Canaan land, and they go from the wilderness of Sin on up to Horeb, back up here across the land of Canaan, spying it out. Then they come back down this way, down south to Hebron. Remember we had the journey over in Canaan land here the other day, how that Rachel died before she got to Hebron between Bethel and Ephraim there, before she ever got over to Hebron, there at the place he called El Bethel, where he anointed the pillar and so forth, and saw the ladder, the angels going up and down and so forth. But anyway, here we are. They are spying it out, going back by the way of Hebron. Now, The Bible said when they come back by the way of Hebron, they go down to the brook Eshcol, and it's called Eshcol because the Bible said it's this season, it's just the beginning of grapes. So they go down there at this season of the beginning of grapes, go down to the brook, and go down here to Eshcol, the brook Eshcol, and they cut off a big, big piece of the vine, you know, and they bring it back with them. You've heard the song, How the Grapes of Eshcol Shine. So then you find here they're coming back with the grapes of Eshcol. They're coming back also with figs. And there's several things there that they're coming back with, for Moses told them to bring the fruit out of the land. And here they come back with these wonderful things, bringing them back over there to Moses. All right, when they come back, now this will let us know whether or not we ought to always go around talking about how sick we are, how run down we are, or how poor we are, or how God ain't meeting our needs, and how we're having a hard time and mumbling and grumbling. So this to show you what, Lord, this is. All right, now, here they come back. When they come back to Moses, the Bible said they were real excited over the fruit and said the land is true like God said. It flows with milk and honey. Now just notice, folks, here we are. We've come over here. Ain't been but just maybe a year and a month or two, and we're ready to enter into Canaan land. But now watch what happens. All right, they get over here, and the Bible said they come back. The spies come back from Canaan land. And then when they come back from Canaan land, here they come to Moses and the 12 elders. That is, it's been sent up the spies. That was, they come back, and they come over to Moses, and they begin to say, yes, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. And said, we found out that over here we saw the sons of Anak, which was the giants in that land. The sons of Anak, which was great giants. And said, then over here, said, along by the river, or the sea over here, said, we saw the Canaanites dwelling there, and the Amalekites dwelling over here on the southern side of it. And then back up here in the mountains, said, we saw the Hittites up there, and the Amorites up there, and the Jebusites back up here in the mountains. And so they bring all of this report back to Moses, and then when they come back over here to Moses, they go down into the camp. And these men begin to discourage the hearts of the people. Said it's a beautiful land of milk and honey, but they mumble and they grumble. They said the sons of Anak are over there. Wow, they're so big, he said, we could never do anything with them. And then they said, here's the Amorites and all these. Said, we could never do it. Now look at the doubt here, unbelief. The Bible said, Paul preaching, looking back at this, said God cut them off because of their unbelief. Now look at their unbelief. After God has worked great miracles, and still they don't believe God can heal them. They don't believe God can save them. They don't believe God can meet their needs. It's unbelief all the way through murmuring and grumbling. Now, notice here. All right, Paul, he points back to these things. All right? Now, watch. He comes back. Here they come back to Moses. They're discouraging the hearts of the people, turning all the faith and the confidence down. One grumbling, mumbling, mouthing person can tear down everything that God's trying to do in the camp. These people got so weary they even cried. They got down like little children and bawled. So now, we done promised the land of milk and honey. Here we are way over here to the land of milk and honey. And now it's all just a mess. Ain't nothing to it. Lost their faith completely. That's the way some of you do. All right, now, watch, folks. They come back down here. When they get back down here to Moses, they discourage the hearts of the people. Now, do you think God's going to let that go by? You think he's going to let it go by? You just watch. He's going to let it go by. It isn't long before he sends out a plague and he kills every one of them that come back except one man. Now, I'll show you something except that one man. All right, now, Caleb. Now, look at the difference in Caleb. Here comes Caleb back. And Moses said something about it, and Caleb, he just jumps up like a spring chicken. He ain't worried about nothing. He don't have no fear. He said, we're well able to take the land. Let's go get it. Now, with the land, he's just full of zeal, ready to go fight. This is the way the Bible gives it off. He just jumped right up and said, Moses, we can do it. All right. Somebody said, oh, a little old foolish fella like David was, you know. He come out there, and David, he jumped up and said, we're good. Go whip the giant. Somebody said, foolish fella. Why, here we stand out. We're generals, and we're this, and we're all kinds of things, and got all kind of everything that we need, denominations, and then creeds, and we've got training, we've got education, got everything. But David said, he couldn't do nothing. Couldn't do nothing, but he went up there to fight the giant. Now remember, here is another thing here where they're going to fight the giant. David went up there and won the battle, and here's Caleb. The Bible says God spoke and said, my servant Caleb. That's what he called him. Now you wonder why the rest of them died in the wilderness, but Caleb, you see here. He said, my servant Caleb and my servant Joshua. And he said, Caleb, here Caleb is of another spirit. Caleb is of another spirit. He said, and he will inherit the land. He will go into it. And said, he and his seed will inherit it because he's my servant Caleb. The courage, see? What saved Caleb? It was faith in God. His faith saved him. Abraham's faith will be imputed unto him as righteousness. Look at the faith of Caleb. Because Caleb probably said, well, my God, look here, Lord, you come up on the mountain in a great cloud over here and just overshadowed the mountain. Here you come down here and smite Miriam with leprosy. And here you are bringing in quails and little fowls. Well, that's nothing, he said. He even went and told. So, well, that ain't nothing for us to go over and take the land. And here the people, they got all discouraged and they cried and they got down and they said, let's just stone. Always wanting to kill the minister. Every time they get upset, they say, kill that old brother, you know who. Okay, so then here they are. They done got upset at Moses again. They're coming around the camp. They fall down and they're crying and they're going on and said, let's stone him and we'll make us captain, go by ourselves, and we'll go back to the land of Egypt. The Bible said, and speaking of these people, though they come out, God was not well pleased with them, for they turned back into Egypt in their heart. That's all they ever talked about was the garlic and onions. And somebody said, I had a home back there, and you made me sell it. We had money in the bank. And I had a good automobile back yonder, and we was over there with my mother back yonder, and we was with my kindred back yonder, and on and on and on and on and on. And it's the same old mumbling, grumbling all the time, either one thing or another. I say, well, wanted to live back in Egypt. It's like Lot's wife, always looking back. I now notice this, folks. Here they come. The spies come back. They discourage the hearts of the people. The people turn back into Egypt. They said, we're going to make captains. And Caleb and Joshua fell down on their face before the people and began to cry and plead with the people. Said, don't do that. Said, God's well able to take us into the land. Said, the Lord is with us. And all the defense of the sons of Anak are gone. All the defense of the Amorites and all are gone. Said, well, God can give it to us. Said, he's going to give it to us just like he promised. The people know they wouldn't listen to that. They're going to stone Moses. And here the Lord gets angry again. He comes back over the camp. The cloud moves back over the camp. He told Joshua and Moses and him, he said, get out of the way. He said, get out of the way. He said, I'll destroy the whole bunch of them. He said, just get out of the way. And here Moses is again. He falls down on his face. And Moses said, oh, God, said, don't do that. He said, why, they done been over here in the land of Canaan. They spied it out. Said, the report has gone down here in the land of Egypt. And said, these people over here in the land of Canaan, they've heard how that you're with your people and how the pillar of fire abides on the tabernacle by day, and said, don't do this. Said, because if you do this, said, they'll say yes, said, the Lord took them out in the wilderness and he wasn't able to bring them into the Canaan land. Said, then look what they'll say about you. Moses was real smart, you know. He was real smart. And so the Lord, he said, okay, Moses, okay. He said, I'll listen to you. I won't destroy him. But he told him, he said, I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll listen to you. He said, but these people ain't never going into the Canaan land. That's what he told him. He said, now, I'm going to listen to you, Moses. I love you and so forth. I'm going to listen to you. He said, but not one of their carcasses shall enter into the Canaan land, but every one of them will die here in the wilderness. And he told the people, he said, now, folks, he said, I'm going to tell you. He said, because you've done what you've done. He said, I've worked signs among you. I've worked wonders among you. I've done a lot of things among you. He said, but not one of you is going into the Canaan land. But I'm going to raise up your children. He said, I'm going to take Caleb in. But I'm going to raise up your children. And so I'm going to let you wander around out here in the wilderness till your carcasses die out here in this wilderness and lay out here in the wilderness. And said, then I'm going to raise up your children and I'm going to take them into the Canaan land. Said, because your children was the very ones that you said that I'd let get killed if they went over there. That our little ones will be destroyed. Said, they're the very ones that will take in. It proves that I take the land with them. All right. Now, here, the Lord, he's really upset. I mean, God, he's really upset about this thing. He's done got upset about it, and the plague of the Lord here, he listened at Moses, but he's really upset about it. Now, and so then the Bible says that all of a sudden the plague of God just breaks out through the camp. Just breaks out, just plowing through the camp. And Moses, he runs and he says, Aaron, get your censer quick. Go over here to the wrath of God, going out against him, said the anger of God, kindled, said, do something. He grabbed a censer and run over there, and the Bible said, Aaron, he run and grabbed the censer, and he had to move fast. Now things is happening and happening real fast. And here the anger of God said, folks, this thing really happened. This really happened. If you just want to take a trip, catch a plane, go near Jerusalem, you can go right to the spot where it happened, where all these people, God, this thing, that's there, then forever. All these people were slain here. Notice the wrath of God has gone out now. And the Bible said it's really upset. God's really upset about this thing. And Aaron, he grabs the hold of the censer and he runs out there. And before he can get it stopped, 14,500 people has done been killed before he can get it stopped. He runs out there between God and the people with the censer. That's the minister right there. Running out there, the minister of the holy thing, getting the plague stopped. 14,500 people or better was killed there in just a few minutes, just like that, before he could even ever get out there and get the plague stopped. Now, what is it? See, murmuring and grumbling and complaining, the people just wouldn't listen. And so then, now the Bible says that the next morning, we're going to have to drop back in, pick up Korah and so forth, but I'm getting a little bit ahead on this. We'll have to tie this in. But the next morning, the people was ready to go to Canaan. You better believe it was ready the next morning. Yeah, but see, God wasn't ready no more. They'd done greed, and he said, I ain't going to do it now. The next morning, they come up there, and they said, Moses said, we're ready to go into Canaan land. Moses said, you better not go up there. He said, God ain't with you. He said, you better stay away from up there. See, God done told him, said, Moses, to take them, turn to the way of the Red Sea, going around the circle now. Then got to the Canaan land, then turned in a circle, don't let them wander in the wilderness. Real discouraged. But the people got up and they said, oh, we'll go up there. Moses said, no, sir. He said, I ain't going up there with you. Camp ain't going up there. The ark ain't going up there. He said, God ain't with you. He said, you better not go up there. So they went on up there anyway. Went on up. They got a captain and so forth. Went up there. When they did, the Canaanites and the Amalekites and so forth come over the hilltop there and begin to discover them and drive them back until they were ready to listen to Moses. They found out they couldn't go in. Now I want you to notice that God was really angry. With all of these things that was taking place just before this event happened here, where the 14,000, about this time, here comes Korah, here comes Byron, and here comes Dathan. Coming over there, and the Bible said that they come up there to where Moses was, and they said, Moses said, now remember, they went and got 250 men, got the Levites. Now this is for the ministry. I want you ministers to hear this. When God ordains a move, I don't care who you are, you don't mess with the move of God. And you listen to this. This was the Levites. Now Aaron has done got in trouble. He was the chief leader for messing with the move of God. And now here's the Levites, the one that ministers to the tabernacle. Now watch what happens. All right, here comes Korah. Here comes Abiathar. Here comes Dathan. A lot of the ministers of our own group have grumbled and mumbled and said things, and God's going to get them. You watch and see what I'm telling you. The Lord's getting tired of it. All right, watch now. Here they come. See, the Levites, 250 princes of the Israelites, I mean leaders, great men, men of renown, the Bible says, men that God respected, men that had ministers among the children of Israel. And here they come, see, messing with the move of God. All right, now, here they come up here, and watch what happens. They come up here, all right, Korah, Byron and Dathan, they come up here and they stand before Moses and they said, Moses, said, you take too much among you, upon yourself. Now, I want you to notice this frame of mind. How in the world can anybody get so foolish in their mind? But now the boy's done everything that he knows to do, give his life to the service of them and trying to help them to keep the wrath of God off of him. He's fasted, he's prayed, he's done everything, and here they are still mumbling. Korah, Abiathar, and Byron, and Dathan, they said, why, Moses said, you've made yourself a prince over us. That's what they said, you know. And who do you think you are? Said, you made yourself a prince over us. Said, you take too much on yourself. Said, when the people of God also are anointed. Sure, the people of God are anointed, just like you think. But let's watch and see what the Lord thinks about it. Now, remember, here they are, grumbling, mumbling, and the Lord here spoke to Moses. Now Moses turned to him, and Moses has done got upset now. He's done got angry because the ministers done got on to him. The people about ready to stone him, now the ministry has done got on to him. And here the Levite, he turns to him and he said, ye sons of Levi, he said, ye take too much upon yourself. Now see, he's just shouting with him a little bit here. Now he said, we'll find out who God is with and who ain't with. Usually his fault ain't gone, you know, and it's meek and humble, but now he's upset about it. He said, we're going to find out and settle this thing once and for all. Now you see the difference? Now as long as it was the congregation, Moses was humble and sweet because he knew they didn't know no better. But now when it comes to the ministry out here, he's fixing to have a war with them. Now just watch and see. All right, he told him, yeah, he said, you sons of Levi, he said, you go get your 250 censers. that you come up here tomorrow morning before the tabernacle. Coro, Balan, and Dathan, you come up here too. All right, here they are chiding with Moses. They come over here and they take their censers and they come up here before the altars. And Moses said, we'll see who and what. This is just before the slaying of the great multitude that I named just long ago. All right, now here they come up here and they stand before the altar. The Bible said within just a little while, God swept down on the top of the camp there, and he looked out and he said, Moses, he said, tell them people back there. He said, Moses, get out of the way. Get out of the way. You know, go kill all of them. He done got upset with all of them. Go kill all of them. Now the Levites have done started sinning. Now he told them, said, get out of the way. And Moses began to plead. This is when Aaron run for the fence and so forth. God's really getting upset with the thing. And he told them, he turned to Moses and said, Moses said, tell the congregation to get way back out there away from me. Get on out there. So here he drives them way back away from him. They got scared and they got away too. They left him. All right, now then he said, Moses, he said, call them Korah, Abiram, and Dathan. He said, Moses speaking now, the Lord spoke to Moses and told him what to do. And Moses said this to Abiram, Korah, and Dathan and to the congregation. Said, if the Lord lets these men die a natural or normal death, you'll know that God's not calling me. Now, you say, well, why would he do that? Because these men accused Moses of killing the people. See, when God would kill the people, they say, Moses, you're killing God's people. So then, it just seemed a natural thing. They still couldn't believe the miracle of God. All right, but now you look and see what's happening here. Here, Moses said, if that be the case, that you just watch this. That if Korah, Abiram, and Dathan die a normal and a natural death, that God's not calling me. But that if God does an unusual thing, and if God just does something out of the ordinary, he said, then you'll know that God's called me. And the Bible speaks of Moses telling the earth to open, just open up like that, or something on this order. And the Bible said the earth just opened wide open, just like that. And said these three men fell down into the pit quickly, just went down just like that. And the fire of God come out and hit this 250 men that murmured against Moses just like that, consumed them up. And then the plague of God went out from Moses, and he got from the Lord, and Moses couldn't stop it, and 14,500 people he had killed him just like that. And just think now, there at one time, maybe 14,700 or near 800 people just slain just like that because of finding fault. Now, there's one thing about it. After this, they begin to listen. After this, when plagues hit enough, people begin to listen. But it was too late. It was too late then. They had done lost the anointing. They had done lost out with God. All right, now, I made this statement up to Bethlehem. Some of you people are done lost out with God. Some of you done messed around. You've murmured and grumbled and found fault and done things so much contrary to the Lord and ain't had no interest in the church where I'm teaching. You may be looking off over yonder, wandering around here, grumbling, fuzzing, got your mind on something, and you done lost out with God. I told you up yonder. That's kind of hard, ain't it? But that's exactly what happened right here. Some of you done lost out with God because of it. All right, now, and here's what he told them. Notice now. He told him, he said, I will not take you into the Canaan land. I will not. He said, because of your mumbling, grumbling, I will not take you into the Canaan land. These people had given offerings unto God. They had sacrificed. They'd done all these things continually. But God swore in his wrath that they would not call his first back to it. That he swore in his wrath, these shall not enter into my rest, which is Canaan land. You'll find it in the New Testament. And God swore in his wrath that because they murmured and grumbled and found fault, that they shall not enter into my rest. Now, this is New Testament to you. I swear that they will not enter into my rest, which is into the Spirit and the anointing of God. All right, now, here we are, 14,500 people, and the plague has done just swept out there and just done kill the people. And now, besides all of this, here God won't receive them. The people the next morning, they get up and they're sorrow and heartaches and woes and funerals and everything else in the camp. And then they come up and said, Moses said, we've done wrong. We've done wrong. In other words, we're through with the garlic and onions of Egypt. We want to go into the Canaan land, Moses. Moses said, too late. But it's too late. Said, you can't do it. They said, oh, but we're going to go, Moses. We done got this
close. We done sent our spies over there, and we done spied out the land we're going to go. He said, you better not. He said, you better not. See now, folks, I'm saying this for this reason. Some people say, bless God, I'll get the revelation. I'm going to go, and I'm going to do such and such. And you leave the count. You leave the ark. You leave the testament. You run off out yonder somewhere. You come in here with a deceitful spirit and strange fire. What you gonna get? And you ain't gonna have nothing to do with the ministry. And you're like, all right, listen to brother such and such. You're going off out there. Don't do it. Don't do it. And this is what's gonna happen to you. Right here. Stiff neck, uncircumcised heart. The Bible said over here that Stephen rose up and said, stiff neck, uncircumcised heart. You do always hell, even if your father's dead, so do you. Same thing, New Testament, what would he tell you? Stiff neck, uncircumcised, always there in the heart, always got some kind of frame of mind. Every time I meet you, got a different frame of mind. One day you're with me, one day you're against me. One day you're wanting out, you know, one day you're going to do this, one day you're going to do this. Always different. What did he say to you? What did he say to you? All right, the same thing that Stephen said to him, as your fathers did, so do you. The same thing Paul said to him, he swore in his wrath they'd not enter into the rest. Brother Branham come over here, and what do? They rejected him, cast him out, wouldn't have none of the religious Baptist, Methodist, this, that, all that bunch of junk. And he has to kill the prophet of God, so to speak, crucified him in the sense of drawing him out, wouldn't have none to do it. Kill the effects of his ministry. When he come on the scene, he draws multiplied thousands, and they mumble and grumble until he killed his ministry. And then a little group has gotten around it, even after his death, and they done flocked in there around that with a bunch of tapes and acting like a bunch of heathens, and they starting to kill the effects of the rest of it. That's right. Now, what will God do to them? The Bible said he swore while he was angry, folks. He swore in his wrath that they'd not enter into his will. Don't you see what's going to happen? That's why some of them's having the trouble they're having now. You can't. You say, well, Brother Pike, what have you got? I don't have anything to do with it. I'm just a feller, that's all. Moses didn't have nothing to do with this. He was just a sheep herder out here on the back side of the desert, minding his own business. Moses didn't have this. This was promised to Abraham before Moses ever breathed his first breath. This wasn't Moses. This wasn't Aaron. This was the hand of God. Folks, what we're doing is not Al Gonzalez. It's not Mother Tom. It's not me. But it's God. God's making a move through the land. And the Bible said when you do this, you mess with God. You hinder the Bible said, blessed is the man that sinneth not in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, whose delight is in the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He'd be like a tree planted by the water, bring forth his fruit in his season, and leaves not with it. Whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. I would above all things if you'd be in health and prosper. This right here is what he tried to tell Israel. Keep my ordinances, keep my commandments. These things, Paul, should happen for our admonition. Moses was angry with the people. And I'm surprised, folks. I'm surprised that the ministry, the true ministry that is of today, don't get angry with the people more than they do. Now, they get angry sometimes. But, I mean, it's just a tiny thing as to what... Somebody said, well, bless God, that was Moses. Jesus wouldn't. You know how Jesus come in there and flipped the tables over and grabbed the whip and popped the whip and said, get out of my house. That was God. That was eternal God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody said in the New Testament, he's great. You see what he done when he come in the New Testament over there and he took that whip. See what he done? Beware ye that forget God, lest I tell you in the pieces the same yesterday. What do you want us to do? The Bible teaches us to be meek, be humble, submit ourselves one to another. Now, as it says in that old Frank Taylor over yonder says that ain't going to halt. I'm supposed to submit myself to Brother Taylor. That's right. He's born of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Brother Tom, I submit myself to Brother Tom. See, now, when I'm up here, I don't submit myself to nobody. Because I'm a voice when I'm up here. See, when the minister's up here, he don't submit to nobody. You submit to him. But now, as an individual, as a man, not the anointing, but as a man, I submit myself to Brother Tom, Brother Dale, Brother John, Brother Al, all these women, I submit myself to them. Because if I do it unto them, I do it unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll stand in that thing. He said, I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. They said, Lord, when did we do all this? He said, you didn't do it to him, you didn't do it to me. His body. When you're over yonder saying something about old brother so-and-so, you're talking about his body. When you're over yonder finding fault, you say, how am I? You're talking about his body. You're talking about his body. When you come and you don't submit to his spirit, you're doing that to his body. You're doing it to his body. When you got some conniving thing going on in your mind, trying to figure that thing out, and you don't be smart enough to get around a simple-minded man yet, a humble, simple-minded man that submitted himself to God, that's not trying to figure out anything conniving in his mind. He just wants to be honest and upright, like Moses did, like Caleb did, like Joshua did, like Aaron did. They even mumbled and stumbled. And yet, simple-minded people, and you in your mind, conniving something up, don't you think God won't set your field on fire? Them men are 100,000 miles ahead of you, then, just like that, if they wanted to. That's smart enough to know what's going on. They just want to be honest with God. Now, so you see, you can't get around the ministry, folks. This is a day of rebuke. This is a lesson of rebuke. All the way from the beginning, I told you from the beginning, that this is a lesson of rebuke to you. God is in his entreaty. He's done everything to Israel. But now, what did I tell you? As long as he's on the mercy seat, what will he do? Coming out of Egypt, he played Egypt, he carried mercy all the way over to them and brought them all the way down to work. When he gave them his word, is that right? Folks, you got the word of God. Did you know that? You got the word of God. These other people haven't got the word of God. Sisters, you got the word of God. I'm talking to sisters too. You see what happened to Miriam? It don't make no difference. Somebody said, well, I'm a woman. It don't make no difference. God requires it, doesn't he? All right, now, notice this right here. The Bible said, ladies, reverence your husband. Reverence your husband.
You women that
try to lead them around like a ring in their nose, you better obey them like Sarah did and call them Lord if you have to. That's what the Bible says. Reverence your husband and reverence the minister. Respect his house. Reverence for it. Respect not for the individual, but for what he... Somebody say, I'm not saying not for the individual, Paul, but I do this to put flesh out of the way. You better respect the individual. Somebody said, bless God, I respect the authority. No, you better respect the bone of bone and flesh of flesh. That's what you better respect. I tell you what, now I'm getting a little bit stern about this because I want to get over a point here. I have watched some of the brethren. I have watched some of the sisters. And they take it because I try my best to keep the flesh of bait and try to tell them it's everything but God, that they get on some kind of wild notion in their mind and they go out there and they're going to try to respect the spirit within me and within Brother Gonzalez and the brethren, but the brethren ain't nothing.
Don't you know the only way you can get to heaven is to love the brethren,
not the spirit within him. The Bible says you pass from life unto death unto life because you love the brethren, not the anointing.
That's your creed.
The anointing's what takes you in, but you love the man. Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh.
You do it to him, you do it to Christ. I don't mean to get the preaching.
You've got to pray for him.
But this is a lesson of reproof. And folks, it's for us. And we got in the camp of the land, and they'll be afraid of you because you're called by my name. Now you say, was they afraid of Moses? What do you think? Did you know what? I'm over here 41 years old, over here in 1970, and I still fear Moses. I wouldn't go out here and say nothing about him for a whole barrel full of gold. Now, how many of you would like to go say something against Moses? No, sir, he's dead and gone, but I tell you, I ain't got nothing to say about him. Now, not only him, but any of the anointed of God, any of you brethren, I wouldn't lift up one finger against you. He said, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. That's right. There's a religious sister in our midst that's given me trouble ever since she's been with me. And she's just as religious as she can be and don't know nothing about God as far as serving him. I mean hardly anything. Just carnal-minded as she can be. Always giving trouble in the congregation. But someday, down the road, someday, she's going to wake up and forget about her religious background. How about that Jewish thing, that proselyte thing. She's going to wake up one of these days. She's going to submit herself to the ministry. It might be over a dead loved one or through sorrow, but someday she'll wake up. All right, now, you understand what I'm saying? You follow me? Now, one sister already that has reproached this message just in the last year has lost two children already. Is that right? Is that right, Brother Taylor? You've been with us. Already. You can't do it, folks. You can't do it. You can't do it. Man, as many times my little children, I fall down on my face and plead for the life of my children. Yes, sir. I've done it. Because the Lord would tell me, said, boy, you better watch out. Now see, it's the move of God. You say, what are you trying to do, Brother Pike? Get the fear of the Lord within you. The Bible said the beginning of wisdom is to fear God, keep His commandments, fear Him. In other words, to get the fear of the minister, to turn your heart back to the apostolic fathers, way back yonder in this day, and way back yonder in the day of the apostles, to put the fear of God in your heart, lest God come and smite the earth with a curse. That's what He's going to do. He's coming for that purpose. That's the job of the ministry, is to put the fear of God in your heart. Turn your hearts back to these things, and back to the teaching that God brought, that you might understand these things, because these were the fathers that brought this thing to pass. The patriotic fathers. I think it would do well. I personally think it would do well if some of our beatniks and Beatles and some of our school teachers and all these other things would remember some of our fathers of America. And some of the patriarchs like Washington and everyone, Abraham Lincoln and the one that brought us in here in our nation. Not only the spiritual thing. Okay, folks, now if I get a little hard, you just pray for me. I don't mean to do that. All right, now I'm trying to help you. Now, Brother Branham one time said, and you have to nail this on so the wind won't blow it off. You put a plank on the barn, you got to nail it on, the wind will blow it off. Some contrary wind, a doctor will rip it right off. There wasn't nothing to that. But you watch now. Watch. These things will protect you if you listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes the policeman talks pretty stern. Sometimes the judge talks pretty stern. I went to a judge one time, and I've gotten some boys out of trouble a number of times, different judges. And I said, Judge, let me have them. I'll look after them. He said, okay. So I'll do it. He said, but I'll tell you, he said, when I sit in the judgment seat, he said, you won't know nothing about it. He said, when I talk to them, they won't know nothing about it. He said, when I talk to them, it'll be judgment. And he did. But he talked to me with love. He let me have the boys. But I tell you, the way he talked to them, they knew he meant business. Okay, now you see what I'm saying here. All right, now, here the tabernacle is on the move. We went into it last night, how that, they folded them up, and how that Aaron and them all had to fold these things up and take them and move them and then reset them. And here we are, see, we done come over here over to Kadesh. They come back here, and now we've moved on our journey, and we've covered a lot of ground here, coming down through these things, and I knew in my heart when I got up here that God was going to bring an anointing to reprove you because I done felt it. That's why I told you the first to serve. He's checking your spirit to see what kind of spirit you got. You rub that kitty wrong, and brother, you'll find out where he's living. Right here. You see this? This was the results of a man that was the meekest man in all the land, Moses. A man that loved God. Because of that, the Lord entered into his veil and led the people. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, this was the veil. Brother, this was only a symbol of God living in the veil of Moses. Moses was that Ark of the Covenant. That was the one he couldn't touch. Somebody said, well, that was the Ark of the Covenant. I beg your pardon. Moses was that Ark of the Covenant. Jesus was that prophet like unto Moses. That was your Ark of the Covenant. That's the one he said, keep your hands off of. I'll speak to him face to face, not like a prophet. Face to face. So you understand what I'm saying now? Now, I say this in love. I believe that our people, I don't say this to puff you up, but I say that our people, when I say our people, now I know my sheep hear my voice. I'm talking about our people, real godly people. People like men that David had when David just said, I want a drink of water, and they fought through a whole army to get him a drink of water out of just one well back over there. Just because you want, I'm talking about people that love God, faithful people. Here the other night, I was sitting out yonder, and I'm the least one among you. And I was out there, and I just wanted some cottage cheese or something. Brother Tom was out there. And here come Brother Al Gonzalez, tired and weary. Went up there. I wasn't fit for him to spit on. And went way back up yonder, up to the place up there, and in the middle of the night, come out here and brought me some cottage cheese. Somebody said, yeah, for me. See, but where is that marked up in heaven? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, the least of these, my brethren. Yes, sir. Okay, then you see this. Now, forgive me if I get too hard with you. You have to forgive me. I don't mean to get hard. I love you. But now I have to just tell you just like it is. Now, you see right here, here we are. We've journeyed this far. Folks, can't go into the Canaan land because we've come as far. Now, what's going to do? Going to go back by the way of the Red Sea. Now, you know what Korah and these got upset about? They come up there and said you was going to take us into the Canaan land. Yes, got us out here and got us out of Egypt, and now you ain't even taking us in. So now what you going to do about it? Said you was the one that promised it. You see what I mean? See what I mean? In other words, right here, I'm going to try to close out right here. I'm beginning to get in kind of a preaching anointing anyway. We have to get ready for the afternoon service. But anyway, you see right here, now 14,500, I believe it was 50 men. I make no mistake, 14,550. But anyway, then three men over there died, and then 250 of the other men to be added to them. Just think of that. All because of murmuring against the ministry. Folks, this is the move of God. When folks start telling you something, you look at them. I tell you the way. Now, this sounds a little insulting, and I don't mean this wrong. It sounds just a little bit insulting. Just a little bit insulting. But I don't mean it wrong. I want you to kind of hear me here. I don't mean it wrong. But when people start doing that, you just think in your mind, Junior, you need to go home and get your diaper changed. And you just go right on about your business. Somebody said, now that's insulting. That's exactly what a lady dreamed here the other day. A lady dreamed a man come out to preach to us, one of our leading men, and he had his diaper on. That's just the way some of you look inside the Lord. I was out in California. I'll show you something right here. I was out in California preaching over in Cudahy, California. Now, you wasn't with me at this time, Brother Taylor. I believe this is before I met you, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I'd met Al at this time. But here I was in Cudahy, California. I was over there preaching. All right, I went down to a church, and it was a woman pastor down there, Brother Atlee. I got down there, and I went to preach. I poured my heart out. I got into some revelation, poured my heart out. Well, I went home and had a dream. Things just didn't set right. I thought, well, I just don't understand this, Lord. I went down there in the spirit of love. I poured my heart out and thinking, here's what he showed me. He won't let you be troubled if you love him. He showed me a night vision, and in the night vision, he showed me in the night vision, it was Christmas time and gifts was being given away. You follow me? In the vision in California, and I saw it as though it was Christmas time, had a Christmas tree, gifts was being given away, and I saw the children around the Christmas tree in the living room of the house. I had on pretty white socks, real beautiful white socks. And the Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, the preparation of the soul. Jesus washed the feet to show the washing of the water of the soul, here of the word, to the soul. Said, Peter, I wash you, you be clean. Here I come in with clean socks. I walked into the living room, and here it was Christmas time. Remember Christmas, Christ Mass. Mass Church. You know, Christ Mass. Comes from the Catholic Christian Mass, or Christ's time of birth, or so, you know, they have Mass. You know what it means. All right, here's Christmas time. Here was a Christmas tree. See, Christ. Here was the living room, which is the heart of humanity, the church. Now, the church is the heart of that out yonder. The heart's in here. I walked in there, and you'll have to excuse this, because this is the way that God gave it. It's just plain talk, nothing ungodly about it. And I walked in there unawares, and they was having him a big time gifts being given away. Remember, Jesus said gifts unto men. When he came for the purpose of giving gifts unto men, spiritual gifts. That's what Christmas denotes. I walked in there unawares, and I stepped into the biggest mess. I mean, my thoughts was in a mess. Well, naturally, I got out of there. But there, I was coming there with the children, giving gifts, and here I done got my feet in a mess. And I woke up and I was troubled. I said, Lord, what in the world is this? And he began to revelate to me. Brother Bruce, he began to unfold it step by step. And what had happened, now you're grown folks. You know what happens when a little child gets his stomach upset. Well, that's what had happened. And the floor was in a mess, and I had walked right into it. And here's what the Lord said to me. Now, brother, he can speak plain. God can speak plain. He said, son, he said, you run into a little baby down there, and you fed her something that upset the stomach. It was a woman. And said, now she's made a mess in the whole church. And that's exactly what she made. I didn't know a thing about it. But I searched it out to see, and it was the very woman that God had showed me, the woman at the piano over there. I said something. She couldn't digest it. It upset her spiritual system. She had created a gossiping mess in the church and had it spread all over the place. And I was running right into it and couldn't do nothing. That's what happened. You understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning? Junior, you need to go home and change your diaper. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. So So then finally, I won this woman. I won her confidence. I finally got to her. I won her confidence, and I got her straightened out. I got her straightened out. And I said this, yeah, me and Brother Tom was talking the other day, and I said this, and I'm going to say this, and then we're going to close. Now, I made this statement. Some of the brethren, ye that are old enough in the Lord to know that God is no respect of human flesh. Now, let me make this clear so that you won't ever stumble at it no more as long as you live. When we start talking about fallen man, fallen man, fallen man, you remember this. You are speaking against the body of Jesus Christ. You're speaking against the anointed of the Lord. All right, now listen real close to this. When you talk against fallen a man and you say God's no respect of person, you're doing the same thing that Miriam did. See, God is no respect of person. But that man is not a man. That man is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said not to know any man after the person, flesh and blood. We have known Christ after the order of flesh and blood. From henceforth, we know him as a quickening spirit, not as a son of God, flesh and blood. As a quickening spirit, the resurrected God eternal with all power in heaven and earth. We have known him as a sacrifice. Now, we have known our brethren as a natural man, but not anymore. He's dead and buried with Christ. Not I that liveth, but the Christ liveth within me. The life I now live, Paul said, I live by the Son of God. That's not a person. You're not dealing with respect to person. When you deal with respect to person, friend, you're dealing with them out yonder. Now, if somebody says something about Brother Al Gonzalez, say amen, glory to God. Somebody said, but you esteem him too high. Since when can you esteem Christ too highly? Since when and where? Where do you get that in the Scriptures? Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. When can you, how can you esteem the temple of the Holy Ghost too high? How many agree that that's the Holy Ghost temple? If the temple or the God within it's holy, ain't the altar holy? What did he say about the altar back here? Did he say that? The temple holy? The tabernacle? All right, now, what I'm trying to say is, these men, you don't know them after the flesh. I don't know Brother Al as Al Gonzalez. And he said, well, Brother Pike, why can you rebuke people? I rebuke their wrongs. I don't touch them. Bible said, touch not mine anointing. I rebuke the strange fire, the incense, the wrong incense. See, thou art not to suffer sin upon your neighbor. That was the law. But now what I'm trying to say is this. I know that individual, Brother Adley, after the person of Jesus Christ, flesh and blood, Webster, flesh and blood. No, I don't know him as a person. No, I respect a person. Now, the Bible said even as a minister, esteem them very highly. Esteem them worthy of double honor because they labor in the Lord. Why? People don't even give them honor, let alone double honor. Let alone double on them. Now, so I said, well, what do you want them to do? Worship you? The Bible said it was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Who did they worship? He said, I've called ye gods. I've called ye gods. I will make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I loved you. You just wait till you get to heaven. Wait till you get to heaven. Then you'll see. You'll see when he sits there on the throne and he said, you did it unto them. You did it unto me. Is that Bible? Somebody stop me now. If I'm off the pattern, you better stop me here. That's what you're for. Is that right? That's why the world, that's why the brethren knelt at Joseph's feet. Brother, the one that's accounted for that bride is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his own members. That will go to the head of the Son of God that came up, the first brother among many brethren. And the same worshiping that will be done to the Lord Jesus Christ will be done to them.